Blog Talk Radio.
Good Sunday. This is Marcus Jarvis, attorney, speaking today on the relationships between general contractors and subcontractors. And it's geared mainly to assist subcontractors in collecting funds, protecting themselves from the contractors. Recently, I've come across a lot of subcontractors who got used and abused by general contractors. So this episode is to help individuals protect themselves. One of the first things a subcontractor should do is to get a written agreement in place. Agreements can be verbal and enforceable. However, if the agreement is written, the agreement in the legal language says that it has more teeth. It's easier for a judge or decision maker to understand what went down rather than to try to anticipate what the parties meant. That's not the judge's function. Give the judge the facts so that the judge can make a decision. So have a written agreement in place. Also, try to get a percentage of the money that you agreed to for the overall job down. You know, 50% might be a good idea, but something down. Also, you might have a clause that says that if 3/4 of the work is done, then you'd get some additional advance, right, as the work progresses. In addition, try to get as much contact information on the subcontractor as you can. Get any sort of state license that the contractor may have, any sort of business registration the contractor may have. You may want to go to the Better Business Bureau to see if there are any sort of complaints against this contractor. You know, search the internet. Sometimes people, you know, might write something on the internet, you know, social media about this particular contractor. So just pay attention to these things. In Minnesota, and I believe most states, anytime a company or an individual provides material, let's say building material and or services to a real property construction site, you might be in a position to put a lien on the property. I'm going to generalize rather than speaking about Minnesota specifically. You may want to do what's called a pre-lien letter, inform the property owner that you have provided building materials and or services, and this is a warning that you could eventually file a lien against the property if you have not been paid for the materials you provide or the services you provided to the homeowner's property. When the work is completed and you haven't been paid, you may want to file a lien against the property, or at least notify the property owner that the work has been accomplished and you have been paid. And the property owner, in a lot of cases, may hold back certain amount of funds for a period of time to pay the subcontractor, just in case the subcontractor did not get paid. So a lien is a procedural or legal maneuver that allows the individual who provided the material and or services to the real property to eventually foreclose on the property. It varies from state to state, so I'm not going to get into specifics here today, but once you have a lien against the property in Minnesota, you have 1 year in which to perfect that lien. In other words, start foreclosure action against the homeowner. I know in Minnesota you can use the process of a lien, or you may be able to take the general contractor to court, So those are some of the things that you may be able to do to collect money. We mentioned going to court. In Minnesota, you can take an individual to conciliation court, small claims court, if the amount in controversy is less than $15,000. There's a filing fee, and usually in conciliation court, the judges don't want attorneys to be there, but you can carve out an exception if the one of the parties is an entity. So for example, if a plaintiff, a party to the action came to an attorney, and even though that party, let's say it's an individual, the individual might make the claim, well, the other party is a corporation. And in Minnesota, if there's an appeal, then the corporation would need the help of an attorney. So the party who is not represented by an attorney could successfully make the argument, well, if we have to go up an appeal, they could use an attorney, so I'm going to use an attorney to protect my rights at the conciliation court level. I'll digress a bit and give a brief synopsis of the legal process in Minnesota when conciliation court is involved. When an individual files in conciliation court, you say that the conciliation court has what's called original jurisdiction. In other words, to hear the case, to collect evidence and make a determination. If one party is aggrieved by the decision in conciliation court, that aggrieved party may be able to take an appeal to the District Court of Minnesota, and conciliation court is on the state level rather than the federal level. So in this case, the District Court in Minnesota is acting as an appellate body. In most cases, the District Court acts as a original jurisdiction, a form of original jurisdiction, but from conciliation court, it's considered an appellate court. In some situations, also the District Court is an appellate court, especially when you're suing like different services, like the Department of Human Services, a case that comes from the Department of Human Services. So, Department of Human Services, that goes to the District Court in Minnesota. That court is now acting as an appellate court. So you bring an action in conciliation court, you file the claim, summons and complaint, and then you have to serve the defendant. Sometimes you serve the defendant via certified mail, or maybe you might have to use personal service when an individual takes the summons and complaint and serves it on the defendant. In Minnesota, somebody who lives at the residence who is 18 years or older can accept service. In other jurisdictions, I'm not sure exactly how it works, but just talk with your local court and they'll give you good advice as to what to do. So you go to conciliation court, and the judge usually allows the plaintiff. The plaintiff is the person who brings the action, called a movant, speaks first. Then the defendant has an opportunity to respond, and then the plaintiff has an opportunity to reply, and then the conciliation court referee or the judge makes a determination. Another way to collect, we touch on the ability to foreclose. That's very complex, and you almost need the help of an attorney to perfect some sort of foreclosure action. I just recently presented a seminar, and I told the participants, the audience, that they probably should keep a track of contractors who may have mistreated them, and they can share that list. I encourage them to form some sort of association where they can trade ideas and maybe trade where, you know, who has the better building materials and turnaround time, things like that. And, you know, just share ideas as to who the contractors are that mistreats them. My name is Marcus Jarvis. I'm an attorney here in the cities. I practice primarily in immigration law, and criminal defense. But as a business owner, we take on other issues, not in the high percentage as criminal and immigration law. So give us a call. We're in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Our number is 763-425-5447. You can find us at m-j law limited. Also, I recently wrote, co-authored a book called A Simple Guide to the Immigration Laws of the United States, What You Need to Know When You Come to America. Thanks for listening, and I'll probably do another shout out this Sunday, December 6th, maybe at about 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thank you for listening. Bye.